Begin the current daf Masechta Shabbos daf Mem Hei. We begin 12 lines in from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues discussing the Miktsaya, the Sugya of Muktza, and specifically in the Shita of Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon, as we learned in the previous daf, that he holds, for example, like the Sugya said about Beis Chalas Dvash. For example, by the honeycomb, that there's honey throughout the summer months, but during the winter months they leave only two deposits of honey. And those are the two honeycombs, the two chalas dvash. The Rebbe Yehuda says that's muktzah because people generally, they leave it alone, they're not going to use it. Shimon says if it's fit to eat, although I didn't actively, so to speak, think about it, I'm going to use it, he holds that's not muktzah. And Reb Shimon has a much lenient interpretation of the muktzah, of the sugya, of the halacha, the isdraban of muktzah. And the Gemara is going to discuss further his shita of muktzah. The Gemara says, "B'yimenei Rish Lakish Reb Yochanan." Rish Lakish asked the following question from Reb Yochanan: "Chitim shazarin bekarka, regarding wheat that was planted in the ground, and that is, it didn't take root yet. The question is, can you now still take it out and go ahead and eat it? And a similar question is, ubeitim shetachas tanagas, there's an egg that's under, that's being incubated under a hen. Mahu, what is the halacha? And the question is as follows." When did we say Reb Shimon does not hold of muktzah, that he has a much more lenient interpretation of muktzah? It's only if something is totally not fit for it to be used on Shabbos, and you're like totally not going to think about it, as the Gemara says, "Hey, chedlei dachi b'yadayim." That's where a person said that he didn't actively push it away, he didn't actively reject it. For example, we had the chalas devash, that was the halacha regarding the honeycombs. Although people generally don't eat those honeycombs because that's how the bees survive during the winter months, but it's still fit to eat, and therefore, since I did not actively reject and say I'm not going to go ahead and use it, it's just people don't usually, and therefore, there he says that a person's allowed to use it. However, but if where a person actively rejects it, for example, this case where the person took the seeds and he planted it in the ground, he took the egg and he put it under the hen, in other words, he's saying, I'm not interested in, so to speak, consuming it, I'm going to use it towards something else, so to speak, he actively rejected it, then he would agree that the application of muktzah would apply, that it, so to speak, as the word muktzah says, that it's set aside. I'm not thinking about using this anymore. You see that I went to go ahead and plant it or to incubate it under the hen. Then he would agree, because that's different from what we've known up until now in Reb Shimon's lenient interpretation that we know by the two chalas devash, where he's making Reb Yehuda's machmer, because again, there, he didn't actively reject it. It's just that is the general, so to speak, consensus that people don't take it. Or maybe the Gemara says maybe there's no difference that Reb Shimon would be makel even in such a case, because since it's still fit, it didn't take root yet, and here it didn't, the egg didn't change since the hen got on top of it, so maybe he would still agree that it's mutter. So Amalei ain't muktzah Reb Shimon. So he answered him, no, it is. There's no difference. Reb Shimon does not hold of the, so to speak, this broad stroke of what muktzah is. Elo shemet shebenei b'shar shudelik, except. Where is he machmer? Where does he agree to the chumrah of muktzah? That's only by oil that's in the lamp at the time when it's being lit. And that is because there he's machmer. Since it's set aside for its mitzvah, and that is the mitzvah of the neris of Shabbos, and then also it's also separate for the isser. There's an isser of kibuy, of extinguishing the light, the flame. So there we have these two components. Again, of the what's called muktzah machmas mitzvah, that because a mitzvah is being done with it, so you're setting aside, you're not going to use it because it's being done for a mitzvah. And also it's being set aside because an isser is done with it. You can't go ahead and touch it because, so to speak, you're not allowed to touch the fire on Shabbos. It has an isser that's being done with it. Since it has those two components, then he agrees to the, so to speak, the isser of muktzah. But regarding the case of this, the seeds that were planted or the egg that was put under the chicken, there a person is allowed to go ahead and use it, even though he sort of speakly actively rejected it. Doesn't make a difference, it's still fit, and therefore Reb Shimon would agree that there is no muktzah. However, the Gemara asks on this interpretation of what Reb Shimon agrees is muktzah, that it has to have these two components of, so to speak, being muktzah for the mitzvah, that it has to be that a mitzvah is being done with it, and it has to have that there's an isser, so to speak, attached to it, and that's why you can't go ahead and use it. As the Gemara says, Reb Shimon does not hold that there's only that it's enough to, so to speak, make it muktzah if it just has that one element of being muktzah l'mitzvasa. Because now the Gemara thinks that when we said the oil in the lamp, that type of case, necessarily there we have both components. One, it's muktzah for the mitzvah, and mitzvah of Neir Shabbos is being done with it. And it's also muktzah at the time when it's being lit, because there's the prohibition of so to speak, of extinguishing, of kibuy. However, if it was just muktzah, if it was just set aside for mitzvah, then it wouldn't be usur, even at the time of mitzvah is being done with it. On that, the Gemara asks a question. If someone goes and he covers a sukkah, he makes schach as the proper halacha. The itra bekrum, and he decorates it with this colored cloth, uvisadin hamtziyarin, with embroidered linens, and everyone makes their own, you know, schach, their own decorations, betolaba goizim, and he hangs nuts from it, afraskin, he hangs peaches, shkedim, almonds, remoinim, and pomegranates, vafarchalei shalanovim, and clusters of grapes, vatar shal shabayilin, and these wreaths of grain. And these are, you see, the menhagim that people have with schach. This goes back in times of the Tanoim. Yenois, these different bottles of wine, shmonim, and oil, and siltois, and a flour. So the halacha is all these different things, the schach and the noy sukkah. Also, this topic mehen ad motzei yom tov achron. You're not allowed to go ahead and use and have enough from any of these things, the whole sukkah, until motzei yom tov, until the end of yom tov, the last day of yom tov. However, if a person made a tanai condition on these things, then I'll call it fitanoi, then everything goes according to his condition. And what do we see from here? We see that this thing of mukta lemitzvah is here, that there's no isser over here attached to these things. It's just that a mitzvah is being done with it, that, so to speak, the mitzvah of sukkah, and the noy sukkah, which is part of that, is also attached to that. And we see that just because of mukta lemitzvah is enough to make it mukta. And if regarding the isser of, so to speak, stiris oil, of demolishing a tent, which is usser on Shabbos and Yom Tov, but on Chol HaMoed that should have been permitted, just like a candle that's extinguished is not a problem on Chol HaMoed. So therefore, why would it be prohibited to, so to speak, use any of these things for the whole 7 days of Sukkot? Obviously because of Muktzah Machmas Mitzvah. That's the only component there is. And still we see that there's Muktzah, to which the Gemara responds, "M'maid Reb Shimon hi." And how do we know that it's Reb Shimon that we're asking from here, that we see that even he agrees that you don't need both Muktzah Machmas Mitzvah and Issa, that it's enough just to have Muktzah Machmas Mitzvah? He says, I'll prove it to you. That we learned that a person is not allowed to detach wood from a hut, any hut. Sukkah means a hut on any yamtim, and that is on Pesach and Shavuos. And we're talking about a hut that's made just for the shade, not for the mitzvah of sukkah. And that even if it falls down, there's still an isra of muktzah on it. And that is because since it was muktzah, because of the what's known as the isra of stiris oil, that you're not allowed to go ahead and demolish oil on yamtim. So therefore, there would be no way that you'd be able to utilize that. So because of that muktzah, that applies to the whole yom tov, even if it falls down. Elamina samachla, except for something that adjoins it. And that is if near the wall, there's this, so to speak, a bundle of wood near the wall, there the isra muktzah would not apply with it, because that your thoughts were about it on the previous day, that you're going to take it tomorrow. And through that, you're not demolishing the tent. So therefore, that would not apply the isra muktzah on that wood which is adjoining it. However, the rest would be usur again because of the isser of stiris oil, of destroying, of you'd have to, so to speak, take apart a piece of the building, which is that tent. That's forbidden. However, Reb Shimon Matir, Reb Shimon says that that's mutter. And that's because if it falls down, Reb Shimon doesn't hold of this muktzah, as we said in other places. So therefore, regarding that it, so to speak, since it was at one point muktzah, when it was able to, so to speak, when it was a building, and then it falls down, he says, it doesn't say that once it was muktzah the whole yom tov, now it's not a building. So Reb Shimon says that it's permitted. However, the main idea is what says as follows. V'shavim b'sukkas achag b'chag she'asur. All agree, Reb Shimon and the other Tanoim, and that is that we see that this thing is muktzah only for the mitzvah, that the mitzvah is all 7 days of Sukkot, and we see that the entire time period of that is a mitzvah that's applying to it, there would be the halach of muktzah, even though there's no isser of stira, of, so to speak, demolishing the building, because on Chol HaMoed there is no isser on taking apart a building. And therefore, so we see from here that even Reb Shimon agrees that just muktzah lemitzvasai would make it muktzah, and that you don't need both components. And then the Braisa hands off him, hisna Allah hakol lefitanoi. And then if he made a condition about it, as we mentioned before, then everything goes according to his condition. It won't be, so to speak, set aside muktzah, because it's not muktzah. He had in mind that I'm going to use it for something. So therefore, but what we see is that even though it's only muktzah lemitzvasai, again, it would apply even according to Reb Shimon, that would be the issa. Rashi says that although this statement of Reb Chiya bar Yosef, we really could have asked from already in the beginning. However, the Gemara wanted to first bring the first brisa, which was the brisa of Reb Chiya and Reb Yoshia. As the Gemara Chulin says, that any brisa that was not said by Reb Chiya and Reb Yoshia, we don't, so to speak, it's not, so to speak, conclusive. So therefore, we first quoted from Reb Chiya and Reb Yoshia to say that brisa, and then we said, how do you know that Reb Shimon? And then we brought this other brisa to show that even Reb Shimon agrees to this concept that muktzah applies even when it's just lemitzvah, and not both mitzvah and issa. So how can you say that Reb Shimon holds nothing is muktzah except if it has, like the oil in the lamp, that it has both muktzah machmas mitzvah and muktzah machmas issa? To which Gemara answers, it wasn't literally when we said that it has to be that case of the oil in the lamp. It's ke'in shemen shebenir kamin. We meant a case that's similar to the oil in the candle that we were talking about. And that is, we're not talking about because of the isser, that you have to have both components, muktzeh machmas mitzvah and muktzeh machmas issa. Rather, it was only because of the mitzvah, as we proved from that other braisa, that even Rabbi Shimon agrees that just because of it's just being used for a mitzvah is enough to create the issa of muktzeh. And that is, since it's muktzeh for the mitzvah of Shabbos, of the nearest of Shabbos, so therefore it's when we say that it's muktzeh also machmas issa, meant for the whole time period of the issa of when it's being lit, and not more than that. Because there is no mitzvah, the mitzvah only applies when it's being lit. When it's extinguished, so then the mitzvah doesn't apply anymore. And what's important is, as we learned in previous daf, that Reb Shimon does not agree to the idea of migud iskatzoi once it's muktzah at one time period, especially during Ben Hashmash, then it's muktzah for the whole entire Yom Tov or Shabbos. Rather, when it's muktzah, it's muktzah when that stops being an integral piece, when the mitzvah is over, so then there's no ma'isra anymore. And that's the idea that he was saying, that if muktzah machmas mitzvah and muktzah machmas issa meant to say that it's the muktzah of mitzvah is only as long as the issa of extinguishing is, because once it goes out, then the mitzvah is not there anymore. However, regarding the sukkah on Yom Tov of sukkahs, so that the mitzvah is all 7 days, and therefore that's why it's muktzah for the all the time period of the 7 days. So as the Gemara explains, that what the sentence what we said before didn't mean you need both mitzvah and issa. It means since it's muktzah, since it's set aside for its mitzvah, so therefore it's set aside for the entire time period of when there's that issa of extinguishing it, that time period. But not that you need also an element of muktzah machmas issa, that there's prohibition here. It's enough just even that it's just a mitzvah that it's being set aside for. As the Gemara says, it menami also learned amr b'chir bar abba amr b'yechlon, in muktzah lib shimin el ke'en shemet shebener, only like, similar to the oil in the candle, that's b'shashu daylik, as we said before, at the time when it's being lit, since it's set aside for its mitzvah, it's set aside for the whole time period when there's an isser, when there's a transgression of extinguishing it. But you don't need to have an element of isser also. Now the Gemara continues discussing, again, the parameters of muktzah according to Reb Shimon. I'm going to be with Mishmul. In muktzah Reb Shimon el gerges utzimukim muvad. The concept of muktzah, according to Reb Shimon, is limited to cases of dried figs and raisins, and that's it. And that is, these dried figs were these figs that they would bring up to the roof to dry it out so the sun could really bake it. And once it was put there just a little bit, it already wasn't fit to eat anymore until it gets totally dried up, because it's not, so to speak, the good figs to eat, and when it's not fully dried yet. Similarly, regarding the raisins from grapes, that once you put it there a little bit, it's already not fit to eat anymore, and therefore that's the only type of case that Reb Shimon would agree it's muktzah. But anything else which is fit to eat, and you, so to speak, didn't actively, so to speak, reject it, it still would be it would still be mutter to use, and it wouldn't have the halacha of muktzah. So the Gemara asks, umid achrin eloy, and nothing else besides dried figs and raisins, those things that once you set them aside, they're already not fit to eat, those things are muktzah, but everything else is mutter. By the time we learn the braisa, someone was eating figs, and he left some over. And the chiddush is that even though he was eating and going, but once he brought it up to the roof, so then he already, so to speak, removed his mind, and he made it muktzah, as the Gemara says, va'elun lagag, last man gregis, and they brought it up to the roof to make dried figs out of it. Or bahanov mahiz, he was eating grapes, and he left over va'elun lagag, last man tzimuk, and then he brought it up to the roof to make raisins out of it. So lo yoichel et shiyazman, he's not allowed to eat these raisins and these dried figs until it was designated from before Shabbos. And that is because it's going to have the halacha of muktzah. Because once you put it to the roof, it's already out of sight, out of mind. The same thing applies to peaches and quinces. And regarding all different types of fruits. And we see from here that it's not necessarily only dried figs and raisins, that those things, we would say that that's where muktzah applies only according to Reb Shimon. It would apply to all these different things. And that is, although it's still fit to eat, even though it changed a little bit, it's not totally ruined like the dried figs and the raisins. However, once you already set aside, it's usher. It doesn't make a difference. And that's not like what we just said before, that Reb Shimon, that he has to be a case where it's totally not fit anymore, like the dried figs and the raisins. Here we see, even though these things are still a little bit fit, but once you brought up to the roof and you, so to speak, you're drying it out, even Reb Shimon agrees there's going to be muktzah. As the Gemara proves, Mani, who is the Tana of this price? Elam Rebbe Yehuda, if you're going to say that, oh, it's not shver, it's not difficult from there, that's going according to Rebbe Yehuda. But then the question is, why do you have to pick these cases where you actively rejected it, that you brought up to the roof? Even if you brought it into your treasure house, even if you brought it to your storehouse where you're going to keep it, you still would have to have it prepared according to Rebbe Yehuda. As the Gemara says, if even in the case where you didn't actively reject it, Islay Muktzah, Rebbe Yehuda holds his Muktzah. He has a very stringent interpretation of Muktzah. He says it has to be actively that I, so to speak, designated I want to have it for Shabbos. And if I didn't, even though I didn't actively reject it, it's going to be Muktzah. So therefore, definitely in our case, Heichad Dachi B'Daim LeKoshken, where you actively rejected and you brought up to the roof, it's obvious. We didn't need Rebbe Yehuda to tell us that type of a din. Obviously, that is going according to Reb Shimon, and that we see that not only for raisins and dried figs, which are totally not fit to consume once you bring it up to the roof, even though these things that are, so to speak, still a little bit edible, and still Reb Shimon says going to be mokta, not like the parameters we said in Reb Shimon's Shita. So the Gemara says it's not difficult from that brayser because that's not Reb Shimon. La'olam Reb Yehuda really is going according to Reb Yehuda. But then what's the case? Why do you have to say going up to the roof? Even if not, it'd still be aser. No, we had to tell you. We had to tell you this specific case, which was told on a kid that he had been eating. And then he decided to bring it up to the roof. And that a since he was continuously eating, he wouldn't need to have it prepared from before Shabbos and Yom Tov to say that I'm still going to want to consume these fruits that although I'm bringing up to the roof. Because you see, I was eating it. It's so to speak part of my diet that I'm having or my meals. That's the chiddush that once he brought up to the roof, they already, so to speak, removed his thought process from it, and that is so to speak was set aside. And that is, although he was eating it already, once he brings it up, according to Behuda, it's totally out of mind, and that's the special chiddush. Although he was already eating it, still, in spite of that, even Rabbi Behuda would agree that he would be machmed, that it would be aser and would have the halacha of muktzah. But according to Rabbi Shimon, it wouldn't be muktzah because it has to be dafka, the case of like Timukin and Gregor's, which are totally, once you bring up to the roof, it's not just enough that you're setting it aside, that you're rejecting it, but it's not even fit to eat anymore. You would need to have those two components, but if anything less than that, like the other fruits, Reb Shimon would agree that it's not muktzah, it would be mut. So what we see from our Gemara is that according to Reb Shimon, even if you actively reject something, you bring it up to the roof, but if it's still fit to eat, like these other fruits, it won't be muktzah. Now the Gemara goes and asks the reverse type of a case. What would be the halacha if it's not fit, but a person didn't actively reject it? Would Reb Shimon agree there that it would be muktzah, or would he say that no, you need to have both components, A, that you actively rejected it, that you brought up to the roof, you set it aside, and also that's totally not fit for use. As the Gemara says, that Reb Shimon, the son of Rebbe, asked his father Rebbe the following question. Continuing on to Amud Beis, Patzile tamara le Reb Shimon mahu. What is the halacha regarding unripe dates according to Reb Shimon? And that is, these were dates that were gathered before they totally ripened. And they would bring it into these type of baskets that were made from lulavim. They would make them from these palm tree, you know, the branches. And they would ripen by themselves. And the question was, can you eat them? Can you consume them before they ripen? And that is would he agree that these things are like Gregor's and Tzimukin, that they would be aser, and therefore they would be muktzah because they're so to speak, they were totally not fit to eat? Or maybe not, and this would be different. Amale, so Rebbe, his father, answered him, Ein muktzah Reb Shimon el Gregor's of Tzimukin Blavad. Reb Shimon does not hold anything as muktzah unless if it's exactly like Gregor's and Tzimukin, these dried out figs and these raisins. And that is, it has to have two components, as we said before. It has to have what's called dachyin abiyadayim. It has to be that it was actively rejected, and that is, you put it on the roof, you put it somewhere else, and that loy chazud, that it's not fit, it's not roy to eat. However, this case, although it's not fit to eat, it's unripe. However, since it wasn't, so to speak, actively rejected, it's, so to speak, just in the basket, you didn't put it up to the roof or whatever it is, and therefore it would not be muktzah according to Reb Shimon. Well, the Gemara asks on that, Rebbe Lesley muktzah, that Rebbe does not hold of muktzah, and that is, the Gemara thinks right now, from the fact that his son asked his father Rebbe, according to the Shita of Reb Shimon, obviously he had heard from his father that he holds like Reb Shimon, therefore he's asking, according to Reb Shimon, that you hold like, what would be the following halacha? And therefore he asked that Rebbe doesn't hold of muktzah as Reb Shimon doesn't hold of muktzah, in other words, the broad spectrum like Rebbe Yehuda holds. But now we learn in the Mishnah that seems to indicate otherwise. We learned, Ein mashkin v'sheichnin esamid barius. A person is not allowed to give to drink and to slaughter the range animals on Yom Tov. And that is, they used to give to drink the animals before they would slaughter them, that it would be easier to skin the animals. So the halacha is that on Yom Tov, since these range animals, which are far out, they're not domesticated, that a person's thoughts is not on them, they're not prepared, so to speak, for usage, and therefore you're not allowed to slaughter it, you're not allowed to even water it, you're not allowed to do any of these things with it because it's not prepared. Aval, mashkin v'sheichnin esabaisis. But you can go ahead and you can give to drink and you could slaughter the domestic animals because Yom Tov, you're allowed to do shechita. There's no problem of muktzah because they're domestic and they're available to be used. Therefore, your thoughts are on them. B'tanya, we learn in the b'raisa, Elohim midbarius. What are the cases of the range animals, those which are muktzah, that you're not thinking about them because they're never around? They are kol sheyotzes b'pesach, v'menachnasas b'raviyah. They go out in Pesach time, they go out into the wild. And then they come back by the first range, which is in Marcheshvan time, which is much later. Bises, what are the domestic animals that your thought process on them, that you could slaughter them, they're available and you're actively involved with them? that kol sheyoytzes v'royes chutz l'tchum, that they go out and they graze out in the fields out of the boundaries, but u'boyes v'lanz b'teich l'tchum, then they come back and they go to sleep within the boundaries. In other words, they're around. They don't go away too far. They come back at night. Rabbi Yaimer Elav Elav Bison. Rabbi says, no, both these cases are considered domestic. Even if they go out far and they come back only in Marcheshvan, they leave for the whole summer, doesn't make a difference. It's still going to be considered that it's mutter. Ve'elehin midboris. What are the range animals that are considered far and that you can't use and shecht on yamtiv? That's kosheroyes ba'afar, that they graze in the pasture. Ve'enechnosin li'yishim, and they don't come back into the settlement where people are. Le'be'maisachama, ve'le'be'maisachsham, they never come back, not in the winter, not in the summer, they're never around. But the question is, but those cases that Rebbe would agree that they are aser, and that it would be considered muktzah. Obviously, that Rebbe agrees to the idea of muktzah, like Rebbe Yehuda, not like Rebbe Shimon. So how can we say that he was asking his father, which sounds like that because he heard that he holds like Rebbe Shimon, and that's why he asked a specific case. Would Rebbe Shimon agree that it would be aser or not? But it seems like Rebbe holds like Rebbe Yehuda, that he agrees to the concept of muktzah, that these animals, that you never actively rejected them, but since they're totally out of mind, and therefore they're going to be considered muktzah because they never come back, that would be aser. That seems to be like Rebbe Yehuda. So does Rebbe hold like Rebbe Shimon or like Rebbe Yehuda? So the Gemara gives three terutzim. First terutz, the Gemara brings, Iba Yisema, if you want, you can say, Hani Nami Kegregus Ritzimukin Damian, that these range animals are also in similar concept to these dried figs and the raisins. And that is, that it's, so to speak, you have the component of actively rejecting them because, so to speak, it's like you say, forget about it, they're never going to come. And also, it's very difficult to go ahead, and even if you want to use them to bring them in and rein them in, that's similar to the concept of not being fit, like when you put onto the roof and they're dried out, but not totally dried out, that is not even fit at all. Here also, since it's so difficult, you have, so to speak, both components, and therefore it is like Reb Shimon, and therefore it's not a contradiction because he holds like Reb Shimon as his son asked him. And this is how halacha would also be even according to Reb Shimon. Second teretz the Gemara brings is V'yibayis Eim, if you want, you could say that L'dvar of Reb Shimon Kamalei, that when he was answering his son, which was the case of this patzili tomorrow, these unripe dates, he was only saying, you asked me according to Reb Shimon, that is what he would hold, but he didn't hold like that. In other words, it's not, so to speak, you cannot infer that his son asked him, that means he holds like that. You asked me what Reb Shimon would hold. That's the answer, but I don't hold like him, as we see from this case of the range animals, the wild animals, that, so to speak, that he agrees to the concept of muktzah like Reb Yehuda. The third teretz the Gemara brings is, that he holds like Reb Shimon, as his son asked him. And although it seems like from the case of these range animals that agrees to the concept of muktzah, that was only according to the opinion of the Rabbanan that he was saying. In other words, Ledidi Leslie Muktzah Klal. He was telling the Rabbanan, I don't hold the muktzah at all. I hold the Reb Shimon. But according to you, that you hold to the concept of muktzah, like you see that you say the range animals domestic, you're making differences, that there is certain animals that are muktzah, but Oidli Mihas Tehecha the Yitzhak Bepesach, for Nechnasim Brevia, the Bison, but at least agree to me, somewhat, meet me halfway, that as long as they go out by Pesach and they come back in Mar Cheshvan by the first times of the rains, that's considered domestic, that you're still thinking about. That Rabban Amar Leh Lamed Baris Nanyan, that Rabban said back to him, no, those are considered the range animals, they're not considered domestic. However, this that he said this opinion wasn't his own opinion, he was saying it at least agreed to me that much, and that they even disagreed on him that and said that's considered range and that would be considered muktzah, but he really didn't hold to that opinion. That's according to those holders, muktzah, and he holds like Reb Shimon that none of these animals would be considered muktzah. So now the Gemara brings La Halacha, Amar Rabbi Barachan Amar Biyechanan, the opinion of Reb Yechanan in this big machlekes of muktzah, according to Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda, Amru, they said Halacha Reb Shimon. That they said in the Beis Medrash, the Bnei Yeshiva said that Allah follows Reb Shimon and Muktzah, a very lenient interpretation of Muktzah. To which the Gemara asks, did Reb Yochanan really say this? But there was this elder from Keruya, Amr La Servuya, and some say from Servuya, these are different places, that he asked from Yochanan the following question. Regarding a chicken coop, what is Allah? Are you allowed to move that on Shabbos? So Amalei klum asa el tanegoyel, and he says, is a chicken coop made for any other purpose, that is for any usage besides for chickens? And therefore, that's what's called as malach deyle issa, that its usage is for issa, for so to speak, for prohibition. You can't utilize the chickens on Shabbos, you can't use it. So therefore, this is designated for issa, and therefore it's asr. And that's why he said that, of course, it's muktzah, not a movement on Shabbos. So obviously, he holds of the concept of muktzah, which is not like Reb Shimon. So how could he say that they say the halacha is like Reb Shimon? If he himself answered the others, these elders, that the halacha is that you can't move a chicken coop, which is the concept of muktzah. So the Gemara answers, you're right, a regular chicken coop would not be muktzah. But here we're talking about that there's a dead chick, And that is, that's not fit to be eaten. Even for dogs, it's not fit to be eaten. And that is, although Reb Shimon says, a halacha elsewhere, that person is allowed to chop up a dead animal for the dogs, for them to eat it, that's only if it was, so to speak, in danger of life, that it was, so to speak, at the end, its end of its life. With a healthy animal, where he totally didn't think about it from yesterday to use it for dogs, there it's going to be considered that it's muktzah. And therefore here, where the chick died in Shabbos, we're also talking about that he didn't have his thought about it from before Shabbos, that it's going to be for the dogs. So therefore it's considered totally muktzah, even according to Reb Shimon. There even Reb Shimon would agree that it's going to be muktzah. But Twitch the Gemara asks exactly on that. The Amar Moed Hoyer B'Shimon B'Balei Chaim Shemesa Shurasun. That's only according to the ones that want to say that Reb Shimon agrees by an animal that died that it's Asur. And that is that although, again, as we said, that Reb Shimon says that a person is allowed to cut up a nevela, that animal, for the dogs, that's only if before Shabbos it was already at its end of its life, that he already thought about it, that he's going to give it to the dogs. But however, he agrees to a regular animal, which was a healthy animal that died on Shabbos, that's forbidden. So therefore, there it makes a lot of sense to say that even Reb Shimon would agree that it's not fit for the dogs. And therefore, it's going to be muktzah, because here you have this dead chick, again, which he agrees was not fit for, not for the animal, not for people, not for the dogs. And therefore, it's muktzah. According to those that say that Reb Shimon argued even in such a case, that even when an animal that died, that it's mutter, that you can give it to the dogs, Mayakalamamus, and then what are you going to say? Because it's fit for the dogs, this dead chick. So again, you would still be able to move the chicken coop, and that again would sound like that he's saying like Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Shimon said that's mutter, and Rabbi Yechon said that's asr. And yet Rabbi Yechon said that Allah is like Rabbi Shimon, that he doesn't hold of muktzah. So the Gemara says, Hacha Mayaskin, but Isbe Beya. Told me that the chicken coop has an egg, which was what's called Noilad, that it was born today on Shabbos, and Rabbi Shimon agrees by Noilad that that is, so to speak, considered muktzah, because he definitely didn't think about it from before Shabbos. It was never here. It wasn't born. It was just created on Shabbos. And that's totally muktzah, even according to Rabbi Shimon. But the Gemara asks, not true. Rav Nachman, Manda is le muktzah, is le Noilad. Rav Nachman said, whoever agrees to the concept of muktzah agrees to the concept of Noilad. The Leslie Muktzah, Leslie Noilad, whoever does not agree to this broader spectrum of Muktzah does not agree to Noilad. And therefore, Reb Shimon, that does not agree to Muktzah, would not hold of Noilad. And therefore, how could Reb Yochanan say that the chicken coop is asa to move if he holds like Reb Shimon, that would say that the egg is Muktzah to move on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, the Isbe Beitz is Efroyach. Talking about an egg that contains a chick. And that the dogs cannot eat it because of the shells. And the person wouldn't eat it because, so to speak, he didn't have his das. It was only regarding the dogs that you could chop up a nevela for them on Shabbos, that it's mutter. But this case where it's different because it has the shell, it's going to be considered that even the dogs it's not fit for them, and therefore it's muktzah totally. Even Reb Shimon would agree to such a case. So the Gemara says that. So what is the halacha? Ki aser of Yitzchak Reb Yosef, when Reb Yitzchak Reb Yosef came, he said that Amar Reb Yochanan halacha ke Yehuda. Reb Yochanan says halacha is like Reb Yehuda, which is machmer on the halacha of muktzah. Reb Shimon Levi am halacha ke Shimon. And Reb Shimon Levi said the halacha is like Reb Shimon, who is mekel. So Amar Reb Yosef, so Reb Yosef said, Hainan the Amar Rabbah Barachana, Reb Yochanan, Amar halacha ke Shimon. That's exactly what Rabbah Barachana had said, that Reb Yochanan said that they say, the Bnei Yeshiva say halacha is like Reb Shimon. And that is Amru Valelis, really, as we just said, that they say, but he doesn't hold like that. As we said, Reb Yochanan himself doesn't hold like Reb Shimon. And that's exactly what Reb Yitzchak said when he came. He said, Reb Yochanan holds like Reb Yehuda. Reb Shimon Levi holds like Reb Shimon. When it says Amru, that they say, it meant the Bnei Yeshiva, but he didn't hold like that himself. He himself held like the halacha is like Reb Yehuda and not like Reb Shimon. And that, Omale Abaye commented to him, Reb Yosef, and you didn't think that Reb Yochanan holds like Reb Yehuda? In other words, before you heard this halacha of Reb Yitzchak, you didn't know that Reb Yochanan holds like Reb Yehuda? But we know this story. Reb Abba and Reb Asi went to the house of Reb Abba from Haifa. And then a candelabra fell on the cloak of Reb Asi. And he didn't move it. And that is because it was muktzah. The menorah he held was muktzah. My time, what's the reason why he held that the menorah was muktzah? La mishum der basi tamid Rabbi Yochanan. Isn't it because Rabbi Asi was a student of Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yehuda, Sri Lay Disley muktzah. And Rabbi Yochanan held like Rabbi Yehuda that holds that of the concept of muktzah. And therefore, he couldn't move the candelabra. So therefore, we knew already from this story that Rabbi Yochanan, who was Rabbi Asi's Rabbi, that he held like Rabbi Yehuda. And that's why he wasn't able to move the menorah. So we knew it before the statement of Rabbi Yitzchak that Rabbi Yochanan held like Rabbi Yehuda. So I believe Menarta Kami says, you're bringing me a raya from the Menorah? Menarta Shani, Menorah is different. In other words, maybe really the Reb Yochanan held like Reb Shimon. And this study was Machmer on the Menorah, and that's why his student didn't go ahead and move the candelabra. That's for a different reason. Damer Bacha, Rabbi Chanina, Amir Basi, Hayra Shlokish B'tzidin. Shlokish already gave a psak, gave a hayra in Tzedin, and that he said, Menayra hanitelis b'yodei achas mutl tatla. A menayra that can be moved with one hand, you're permitted to move it. It's not muktzah. B'shtei yadav asl tatla. But if it could only be moved with two hands, then it's asr to move it, as the Gemara is going to say soon, that because it's not meant to be moved, and that it has a set place, you see, you need to have two hands to move it, that's something which is, so to speak, it has a set place, that's considered muktzah. Rabbi Yechon Amar, Anu Ein Lanu. Rabbi Yechon says, we don't have any heter regarding moving any candelabras on Shabbos. Ela b'ner krib shimin, only the halacha of a used lamp on Shabbos, as Rabbi Shimon holds, that he holds that's mutter, because he doesn't hold of that muktzah mach mesmias, that once it's used, then it's disgusting. That's the only type of a lamp, or like candelabra, that you'd be able to move on Shabbos that's not muktzah. Regarding a candelabra, whether it could be moved even with one hand or has to be moved with two hands, either way it's going to be usher to move. And therefore, if not for the statement of Rav Yitzchok, we would not have known that he holds like a Behuda, because the menorah, the case that his student didn't move, that's a different case. Menorah has its own special chumra that even if it could move with one hand, Rabbi Yochanan held that it's usher to move that on Shabbos. And therefore, only now that we know that he holds like a Behuda, we know he holds by every case. It's not just the case of menorah. Again, besides the case of Muktzah Mach Mesmias, which was a used lamp, where there he said that we hold like Rabbi Shimon, that that's not going to be Aser Mach Mes Muktzah. But don't bring me a Raya from this case of the Menorah, because Menorah is different. To Rosh Hashanah, at the time, why is it Aser to move the lamp? And why is it that different? And all of the Muktzah that we would think he holds like Rabbi Shimon, and just the case of a lamp, he can't move. On that, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef, the Metavayu, Ha'ilva Adam Kaveila Mokam, since a person designates a special place for the Menorah, for the candelabra, and that's where you leave it, so therefore it's Muktzah, it's totally set aside. And therefore, although everywhere else he doesn't hold of Muktzah, that was a possibility, and therefore it's not a proof that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, because maybe the candelabra is different, as we say over here, because since a person designates a place. That's why we needed the statement of Rabbi Yitzchak to tell us that Rabbi Yechonon held like Rabbi Yehuda in all areas, in all facets, not just the case of the Menorah.